I invite you to take your Bibles this morning. Matter of fact, today, because the sermon's a bit different, I insist that you take your Bibles this morning. And you might want to use the Pew Bibles if you don't have the NIV translation, but you don't have to. But we will be reading from the NIV. First Chronicles chapter 28, it's on page 306 and 307 in the English Bibles, and page 440 and 442 in the Spanish Bibles. So today's sermon will be a little bit different than we are used to. We so often, and me being a preacher, I can say this because I am one. We so often read through the text of the scripture in a sermon setting so we can get to the important things I'm going to say about it. And a lot of times we miss what it is saying to us and our hearts. So today, we are going to mainly focus on reading all of 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and also chapter 29, verse 1 through 22, as we talk about a heart for the temple for the Lord. And the last part's the most important, the temple for the Lord. I also don't want you to get the impression that Tommy is taking the easy way out with his sermon preparation. Christine made a joke yesterday when I was telling her what we were going to do. She's like, you didn't study very much this week, did you? I've been living with this for about a month. So it's been about a month. I've been rolling around these passages in my head. One of the scripture readings for one of my daily readings a little over a month ago was from this 1 Chronicles 29 passage, and it just hit me. And I'm like, this needs to be read. And so that's what we're going to do today. So the portion of scripture that was read a few minutes ago is the finished place of worship for the Lord that Solomon dedicated in 2 Chronicles 6. So the scripture reading earlier, that was the finished product where they were dedicating the temple for the Lord then. In 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, we go back to the beginning of the preparation that King David had his heart set on. And this is very important, because of his love for the Lord. That's why David wanted to put all this together. Matter of fact, David one day sitting in his palatial palace, and he's looking around and he says, I have this really nice palace, and the house of the Lord is a tent. God didn't need a temple. A tent was just fine. We don't need this nice building, even though we're glad we have it. But it was about the love and the worship for the Lord is what motivated David to do this. So some ground rules that will help you get the most out of this sermon. Do you want to get the most out of it? Here's some ground rules. Please follow along as I am reading, so you can not only hear the word of God, but also read along with it. Very, very important. I might be talking with a lot of you that don't remember these things, but as a kid, I had a little record. You put it on the record player. It was one of those, listen and you read along as you hear it. And there's the different, you know, Disney stories and Peter Pan. And, you know, I had the little book and you'd fold it open and it would tell you when to turn the page and go, ding. And you turn the page to the next page. Very important that you have your Bible open and you read with your eyes as we go through this. Because if you're just listening, you're not going to take it all in. So it's important that you hear it, but also that you are reading along with it. So that's the first ground rule. The second ground rule, as we read through this, this sermon is not about tithing. Everybody's like, oh, sure. But if it encourages you to have a different approach to giving, let it be so. So that's ground rule number two. Ground rule number three. This sermon is not about church attendance. Here's the left hand. But if it encourages you to view corporate worship and the Lord differently, let it be so. So those are the ground rules. So we're going to be reading 1 Chronicles 28 and 29 through verse 22. So follow along with me as I read. David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem. The officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, together with the palace officials, the warriors, and all the brave fighting men. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my fellow Israelites, my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you're a warrior and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king over Israel forever. He chose Judah as leader, and from the tribe of Judah, he chose my family. And from my father's sons, he was pleased to make me king over all of Israel. Of all my sons, and the Lord has given me many, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws, as is being done at this time. So now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and of the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and pass it on as an inheritance to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple of God and for the treasuries for the dedicated things. He gave him instructions for the divisions of the priests and Levites and for all the work of serving in the temple of the Lord, as well as for all the articles to be used in its service. He designated the weight of gold for all the gold articles to be used in various kinds of service, and the weight of silver for all the silver articles to be used in various kinds of service, the weight of the gold for the gold lampstands and their lamps, with the weight for each lampstand and its lamps, and the weight of silver for silver lampstands and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand. The weight of gold for each table for consecrated bread, the weight of silver for the silver of tables, the weight of the pure gold for the forks, sprinkling bowls and pitchers, the weight of gold for each gold dish, the weight of silver for each silver dish, and the weight of refined gold for the altar of incense. He also gave him the plan for the chariot, that is, the cherubim of gold that spread their wings and overshadow the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me. And he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The divisions of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God. An ever willing person skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. Then King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God: gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold. That's 220,000 pounds of gold. 7,000 talents of refined silver. That's 14 million pounds of silver. For the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave towards the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents. That's 380,000 pounds of gold. And 10,000 derricks of gold. That's 185,000 pounds of gold coins, 10,000 talents of silver, that's 760,000 pounds of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, that's 1,300,000 350,000 pounds of bronze and 100,000 talents of iron. That's 7,600,000 pounds of iron. Anyone who has precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners, and we're strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. The next day they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him: 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings, and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. And as we worship God the same way in our hearts, the results will be the same. We will have joy and peace, and we will have God's mercy and His grace on our lives when our hearts are in tune with our Almighty God, Jehovah. Let's pray. Lord, our church is made out of brick and stone. Our church has some steel. There's no jewels or gold or silver. But we know you treasure us. We know our worship and our praise for you is what you want. You don't want a fancy temple. You want our bodies to be your temple for your Holy Spirit. And it is so hard for us sometimes to understand that's what you want. It's so hard for us sometimes to understand that you want a heart that's willing to follow you and to serve you. And I pray that you will help all of us to understand that is what you want. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you so much for the forgiveness that you offered us when you died on the cross. We don't deserve it. You've given us everything. Everything we have is yours. We pray that you will help us to turn our hearts and our minds and our souls to you, so that we'll not only worship you today in these walls, but this week we will worship you wherever we're at. And Lord, help us to make it contagious in Belmont Cregan. Help us to take this worship of you and this understanding of what truly brings peace and what our city needs is the peace. And help us to take it everywhere throughout our city this week. We ask this in your name. Amen.